You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how something as simple and, if we're honest here, something as non-sexy as soup can sneakily be a super splendid way to easily and stresslessly eat more plants. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more, Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was muy skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray, because I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and haya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Yeah, yeah. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way. You can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. My guest today is really super, and the queen of all things sippable and spoonable. Nicole Centino is the founder of Splendid Spoon, a food delivery company that takes care of meal prep by sending peeps plant party soups and smoothies so you can slurp them up for breakfast and or lunch and then sit pretty knowing you stole more than your required dose of fruits and veggies by noon. Suck on that, healthy eating is hard mentality. In our chat, Nicole serves more than soup. She dishes out so much wisdom about how simple it can actually be to have a packed schedule. She's juggling a company and two kiddos and still pack in the plants. What I love most about this enthusiastic and entrepreneurial health-conscious soup master is that she's as down-to-earth as her foods. Nicole opens up about how back in the day she used to stress so much about food and her relationship with it. While she was pregnant with her first child, she was going crazy about doing everything right and treating eating like it was some sort of mysterious equation. But quickly, she learned how those obsessive, worrying thoughts around food just didn't work. Shocker. And instead, she discovered how calming down about the whole healthy eating thing and making small, simple changes can radically change a life. Also, shocker. Okay, let me stop spilling words and let's slurp up this conversation that'll make eating more plants way too simple. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I am so stoked to talk about all things sippable and spoonable. Because you're the founder of Splendid Spoon, which is a wellness brand really committed to helping peeps change their relationship with food.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people start a company, there's usually an interesting backstory or like an aha, there's got to be a better way situation. What was yours?
Well, I've always been really fascinated by food. I have a background in biology and studying diet therapies. I went to culinary school. I had like pop-ups and was teaching cooking classes and doing different catering events, working in New York City restaurants.
Wow.
Sort of like on the side while I had a day job in media. And my aha moment came when I was pregnant with my first son, because it was like, okay, there's going to be this other very important thing that is happening. It's definitely happening. and I have all of these other things that I've already decided are very important to me in kind of like leaving my mark on the world and figuring out what it is that I'm supposed to do. And a lot of that meant that I was very driven and didn't have a lot of time, but also wanted to take care of myself. And I think as many pregnant people do, I kind of like set to Google to figure out the things that I really needed to prioritize in terms of taking care of my health. Mm-hmm. And I found it really confusing. I felt like there was a lot of information. A lot of it was kind of conflicting. Going to the grocery store, had stopped being fun.
Yes. Even non-pregnant people can relate to this.
Yeah. Like I love food. I've like dedicated so much of my life to understanding it and to understanding how to make it taste really wonderful. And yet I now have like anxiety around it. And I also had an eating disorder when I was in college. So I've kind of like always been taken by the power of food, be it like good or not so great.
You've like really been integrated with it with every angle.
Every angle.
In school, in practice, emotionally, it sounds
exactly.
like it is your life in every
way. It really is. It's like that's the thing that teaches me the most about myself and my world is food.
Cool.
And so in that moment, I was like, I just want to do one thing a day that's good for me. And I'm going to be cool with that. And I'm going to forget all of the other like confusing information. And my one thing is just going to be to increase my veggie intake. So I'm going to have one totally plant-based soup every day. And it kind of changed my life.
oh, no big deal.
Like really gave me a different perspective on health and wellness. It really helped me to see more clearly that it can be just as simple as a couple small things every day. It doesn't have to be like hunting for some elusive ingredient or making long lists of things that I can and can't eat. And that is like the center of Splendid Spoon. It's this idea that small changes really do make a big difference in your health. It's that like common sense really can prevail. It can be as simple as just having more vegetables in your diet. You know, and we've tried to make it just as easy as possible. It's like, I don't want there to be lots of things to add. I want my food to be ready when I am, so that I can kind of like get back to the work that I want to do with my team and with my family.
Wow. Well, before this time, before this aha soup excursion, were you eating healthfully? Because I mean, you mentioned that you went to culinary school. That was the French culinary school, right? The French.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is like not healthy food.
No. I mean, I remember at one point I had like, and this was right before I got pregnant, I had like a quart of duck fat in my fridge.
What?
At any
given
time.
Like to cook with?
So like oh my God, to make everything taste amazing. Because that's what duck fat does. Like if you fry potatoes in duck fat, they're like the best potatoes you've ever had. You know, and braised meat in it, it's like the best meat that you've ever had. So
okay, you're painting a great picture here. Yeah, I wow, okay, great. And this is different than your normal story, like, oh yeah, I was eating a lot of Cheetos and like McDonald's. No, this was like gourmet duck fat.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's like, whether it's the duck fat or the Cheetos or whatever, like we're all human, we're all wired to love this stuff. There's nothing like, I think that it's, we judge ourselves for wanting really indulgent, delicious food. And the reality is like, that's how we're made. It's a survival thing because when we were hunter gatherers, we didn't know when the next like big stockpile of calories were going to come. So we would like gorge on it.
But they would probably gorge on untasty things too.
Well, exactly. And that's, I think, where the reality of balance and, you know, the word that you don't like to use with food, but like a little bit of discipline really does help in our modern world. And my philosophy is just like, we eat more than half of our meals during sort of like the daytime, Monday through Friday, whether you're at work or home with your kids or working part time, you know, like that sort of 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So much of our meal times exist there, and like make those count.
Yeah. No, that's great. So how did, why soup? Like that seems pretty specific.
I think soup is just like what we think of when we think of taking care of ourselves or when we think of someone else taking care of us. Like I wanted to have this kind of like imaginary mom who would come make my lunch every day.
Oh, so that's fascinating. So to recap, you were pregnant and you were like, I don't really want to feed my baby just duck fat all the time. What can I do? It's stressful online. Let me just basically eat more plants. I'm going to do that in the form of soup. And then you just started eating more plant-packed soups.
Yes.
Got it. Spark notes. Right. So I think that's really sweet. I mean, it is a very nourishing self-love or other human to yourself kind of love thing to eat soup. It's a very like comforting, cozy thing. So you just started, how did you know how to make soups? Is that something you knew from culinary school? I'm sure you didn't make planty soups. You made what, French onion soup.
Right. Well, and I think that's where my philosophy that everything has to taste really good has come into play too. It's like, can I possibly make like a lentil kale soup without the sausage? Can I make a version of minestrone without the pancetta on top? You know, like, can I make these foods that I'm used to having cheese or meat with and make them just as satisfying and nourishing? So yeah, it was a mix of like taking culinary school techniques. So like the sauce station, you know, there's a lot of that that kind of goes into soups, like the layering of flavors, and then just like being inspired by what I saw at the farmer's market.
Wow. So then you just started playing around, making your soups, and what did you notice? I mean, did you feel different? I mean, I'm sure it was hard to isolate how the soup was affecting you because you were also growing a human. So that would, you can't, this is another variable in there, but did you find that it, I mean, clearly you liked it. You're still doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest feeling for me was like removing the stress component, removing the like negotiation of like, what should I have for lunch? Do I just like plow through and have a granola bar? Do I wait until 4 o'clock? Like, do I go ahead and like order pizza? You know, instead I was like, I know what I'm going to have every day. I'm going to have a plant-based lunch. It's going to be full of veggies and it's going to be good for me.
Yeah.
That's it. And that was like, I would say layer one. It was like really quickly layer one was just sort of like removing the stress.
That's exactly what Party in My Plants really is all about, is about eating more plants in the least stressful or least sucky way possible.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is music to my ears, because what's the point of pumping plants into your body if you're resentful or manic or stressed or inconvenienced while doing it? I mean, it's pointless in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Like, that is just counterintuitive to me.
Exactly. Yeah. So talk to me about soups. I mean, I personally, I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big soup fan. I really need my soups to have like bite to them. I need either like a really creamy soup or a chili. I can get down with some chili. But what are some ways that you make soups taste really good?
Well, I totally agree. I think it's like the texture and the balance of flavor is so important. Like, this is going to be your whole meal, or like maybe even like 90% of it if you're having like something crunchy or doughy on the side, right?
Okay, and I was going to ask about
really
that.
Count.
Yeah. If you'd make soups your full meal, or if you add something for that crunch or bite factor. I mean, I feel like, unless it's a smoothie, I don't feel like emotionally satisfied unless for lunch or dinner if I'm not biting into something.
Yeah. I mean, I, for lunch, I am totally 95% of the time really cool with just the soup. And I think I've tried to design the menu items to be that way. So like one of my favorites is the masala khichdi, which is an ancient Ayurvedic stew. And it's filled with like brown rice and mung beans, okra, which is like really crisp and crunchy, and then spinach and lemongrass. So it's like, it's a stew.
Mm.
The one that I just had for lunch was our garden minestrone, which has white beans and tomato and basil. And it's, again, it's like this really chunky, flavorful. There's olive oil. There's the tomatoes have really broken down and are really rich. And then there's like crisp green beans. And so I definitely try to make all of the flavors stand on their own. But again, like everybody's different. I think it's, if you want to have a piece of bread with your soup, like, cool. We're serving it as a first course at a dinner that I'm going to next week. And, you know, we'll probably like put an olive oil drizzle on there and have it next to like some garlic bread. And I always think, like, especially if you're trying, because I was there when I was like, wow, if I look at what I'm eating every day, it's really not a lot of like whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
it's about when you're in that place, it's like, just add more.
Mm.
Like, don't think so much about what do I need to replace. Just think like, can I add some more veggies to this?
Mm-hmm.
Can I like have that soup with my ham sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then like, how does that change the next time I have it? Is it like, am I having half a ham sandwich and the whole soup?
Nice. You know? I like it. I like that. Phase it in. Phase out the bad. So as you're talking, I mean, the way you're discussing soup is very similar sort of to like how other people have discussed like smoothies or juices. Like, it's really cool that it sounds like you're the first to do this, like to really make a business around eating more soup, not like a juice cleanse business, like a soup business.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fascinating. Like, I feel like it's very obvious, and this seems like really smart and awesome, but it's not really out there. I think people, maybe like juice and smoothies have a better PR person, but like, I mean, soups are like, I feel like this is like bringing soup back.
Yeah, bringing soup back.
We're bringing soup back. So what are your, you know, most popular soups? Also, we should say that you didn't just start making soups and then like now you just enjoy soups. You have a product. Like, tell us about Splendid Spoon. People can buy a subscription and get a bunch of soups, or how does it work?
Well, and it's soups, and we do have smoothies as well.
Okay,
so
good.
Most of our customers are buying breakfast smoothies and lunch soups.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subscription, so it gets delivered to you every week. You can cancel anytime. You can change if you want to have it delivered only every other week or once a month, or kind of like whatever works best for you. We try to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is you just kind of, you go to our website, you pick which meal times make the most sense for you, and then you order.
That's really cool. What are the most popular soups?
A lot of like the original flavors that I came up with that are actually in my book. It's like a lot of those have stayed really popular. The lentil kale.
Mm-hmm.
We have a red lentil dal that's really popular. A cumin sweet potato, which is really creamy sweet potato bisque with cashews and cumin. Our black bean, chipotle black bean, which is like a spicy chili, is very popular. If you like chili.
Love chili.
And then we also have a beans and greens, which is two different kinds of beans plus bok choy and tomatoes. And that one's not spicy, but really satisfying and like really rich in protein, great flavor. Yeah. So we have over 40 different flavors.
Wow.
Of smoothies to pick from.
And do they show up frozen, I assume?
Yeah, we send them frozen. So they come to you in the wintertime. They're like mostly frozen, but they're sort of like frozen or slushy. And then the smoothies are never frozen. So those are fresh.
Oh.
Pop them in the refrigerator. Yeah.
Cool. So when you started this company back in 2013, I mean, what were your hopes and dreams? Like, what did you think would happen? Did you think it would really take off? Did you imagine that the healthy eating landscape would look at all like it does right now?
Not really. I mean, I just felt really strongly that we needed to make healthy eating more accessible. Uh-huh. How can we just broaden this? How can we just be like more inclusive? And how can we make it feel like you can also be like really busy and be healthy? You know, like some of us, I think I certainly fall into this category of like, I sometimes judge myself for how much I have going on because I know that I'm supposed to slow down and I'm supposed to take more time to like exercise and take baths and reality.
Don't be stressed about taking a bath.
Yeah. And it's like, I have two kids. I co-parent because I'm divorced. I have a growing team and a business that's still in kind of like its early stages of proving itself out. And so I love all of that. And I do want to pay attention to all of that. And I also want to find a way to take care of myself.
I mean, that you are juggling so much. And I think everyone right now, because everyone's all like, no, I'm busier. No, I'm busier. No. You know, so I think that's kind of what's going on in our world. What advice do you have about balancing, you know, eating healthily and living healthily while maintaining such a busy life? I mean, you're juggling a lot. You must have some words of wisdom.
I think it's like, first, just kind of accept that maybe even like whether it's a few sips or just a few minutes, like taking that time with your food, even if it's just a moment, really does do something for your body. Like really taking that moment to take your food in is really powerful.
Yeah.
And it really can change your stress levels. And that in turn makes you a better engine to digest your food and to take care of yourself.
Well, you're responsible for making souping a verb, right?
So I guess so.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, as I'm thinking about eating soup, that's something you definitely really have to slow down to do. I mean, you can't really be, you know, using a spoon and shoveling it into your mouth while typing on the computer. It's really a mindful kind of food to be eating.
Yes.
Which is really great. And, you know, you need it warm. You have to eat it, you know, while it's in the certain temperature usually, unless it's like a gazpacho or whatever. But I feel like the act of eating a soup is a very peaceful, calming activity in of itself. So I think that's a wonderful thing to add into someone's day.
Yeah, I agree with that. It kind of like, it like trains you a little bit.
Do you also soup for dinner or do you just, you know, do one soup a day?
It just depends on the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I almost always have one for lunch. I'll often have a lighter one for like a snack around like 4 before I go home. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll have it as my dinner. It's definitely like I love having it if I've just had a really long day or if I've come back from traveling and having like, you know, sometimes you come back from being, you're like, oh my gosh, it's 10:30 and I'm just getting home. Having something really nourishing just to heat up quickly and then crash is really nice.
It's so easy to digest. It's so grounding and warm and comforting. Soup's awesome. I'm like really stoked about soup right now. This conversation has really...
Have I converted you?
I think you have. It's really put something that's like, ugh, back as exciting. I don't know. Like I'm really not... I'm like kind of outspoken about how I don't like soup. But like I can get down with this.
Well, yeah. Maybe there's a flavor out there for
you. I'm sure there is. If you're 40, I'm pretty sure. What about your kids? Are they into soup? Do you have any thoughts on helping picky kids enjoy these nourishing soups more?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I actually just saw there's this really cool thing you can do with kids. So yes, my kids eat the soup. They really like the beans and greens and the lentil kale, like the pretty mild flavors. Mm-hmm. But I also just saw this interesting experiment that people do with their kids to get them excited about food. And you just take a muffin tin and you put 12 different foods into the different muffin tins and let them kind of like explore all of them. And that, I think, creating curiosity or like allowing or even enabling curiosity around food with your kids is a really great way to get them into at least a variety of foods, because they're so used to hearing no. you know? And it's like, if you can create a safe space where they can just explore and it's okay for them to be like, I don't like, you know, seven of these, but I do like four of them or five of them, like that's pretty great.
So you're saying like put grapes in one, put carrots in the other, put like kale chips in another, like that kind of thing.
And then like bean soup in another, you know, like do a whole bunch of different ones. You could do like, kale chips and all different kinds of like whole foods.
Have you been in a circumstance where your kids, you know, want to eat the unhealthy stuff, or their friends are eating unhealthy stuff, or, you know, and you are like, you know, wincing inside because you really don't want them to put crap in their bodies? Like, how do you juggle that sort of situation?
I mean, I treat it kind of the same way I treat myself, where it's like, I try to make it count when they're at home. So I don't have prepackaged stuff like most of the time. And when we're out at a birthday party or like with friends and they want to share their goldfish, I'm like, okay, like that's the time for you to have goldfish when you're sharing with your buddy.
Yeah, that's how I treat myself as well. I like that.
Yeah.
But then they don't ask to like bring the goldfish, buy goldfish at home.
They do. But then I don't say like, no, you can never have goldfish. I'm just like, yeah, that's like when you're with your buddies, you have the goldfish. That's goldfish time.
It's funny you're saying buddies. I just imagine like 40-year-old men like going to get beer with their buddies. I don't mention like little boys, but it's cute. Yeah. That's funny. And amazing that goldfish is still thriving.
Oh, very, very hot category.
I don't know.
Snacks with cheese.
I guess they'll never go out of style, those goldfish.
I don't think they will. I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
In terms of flavor profiles and cooking healthy food for kids, like, are there certain ingredients or techniques or just flavor profiles that you found your kids gravitate more towards, or people that buy your soups, are they like, oh my gosh, my kids love this one? Like, if people are just like, my kids don't like vegetables, what can you say to help that along?
Well, I mean, I think kids or grown-ups, like a lot of people don't like vegetables.
That's true. Grown-ups do.
And I think that's part of why we try to have a lot of variety. And some are purees and some are chunky, some are with beans and lentils, some are not. And I can't say that there's like any one that works for everyone. I will say that certain flavors are very popular. You know, and the ones that are a little bit sweeter, like kids and grown-ups are going to like. So that's always like, you know, again,
like sweet potatoes,
phasing stuff in. Yeah. Sweet potatoes or something with coconut milk. Like, we have a carrot lentil curry that has coconut milk in it, and everybody loves that one. My kids are, the older one is starting to like spicier foods, but historically that's like a big turnoff if there's like something really spicy. And yeah, I get, it's like phasing it in.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Excuse me for a sec. I just want to pop in here with a quick little thing I've been doing as of late that makes being healthy way less sucky, which you know is the entire point of the Party in My Plants podcast. So yay! I've been buying my non-perishable groceries, so like everything but my fresh plants, on Thrive Market, and I completely feel like I'm beating the healthy eating system, which makes me feel really happy but also slightly sad for all the folks in the long lines at the Whole Foods across the street from me. Although grocery shopping is a good time to listen to podcasts like this one, so I hope they're at least doing that. Anyway, if you don't know about Thrive Market, or you've seen ads for it and haven't really investigated what their dealio is, like me, until I started using them, because while I've been working on my cookbook, I've started to loathe grocery shopping and needed a better way, let me SparkNotes Thrive for you. They're Amazon Prime meets Whole Foods. On Thrive, you can literally shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products, just like you'd find at Whole Foods or in the healthy aisle at Stop and Shop or Kroger's or wherever, but at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. All of Thrive's packaging is made from recycled paper and is recyclable, which is fetch. They're 100% carbon neutral, which takes away all the G to the ilts about ordering from them, right? Right. And they get from checkout on my app while I'm watching a friend's rerun to hey yo at my doorstep in 2 days. Also, you know how Phoebe says to Joey that there's no selfless good deed? Well, she is right, because by hooking yourself up with Thrive, you're also helping to make it possible for low-income families, teachers, and veterans to access health-supportive foods thanks to Thrive's Gives initiative, which means that when you sign up for Thrive, yeah, they're a membership thing just like Amazon Prime, they donate a free membership to match yours. So yeah, Phoebe, using Thrive really does make you feel better about yourself. And it also takes the hell out of being healthy, because you can get everything you need: non-GMO food, crap-free snacks, plant party kitchen staples, daily vites and sups, eco and human-friendly cleaning supplies, safe and non-toxic beauty and bath products, home goods, organic baby products, pet products, and mas more. If you're new to Thrive Market and want to give them a try, you can get an extra 25% off your first purchase and a free 30-day trial just because you listen to the Party in My Plants podcast. How sweet of a party favor is that? Could my voice get any higher? 25% off their already super low prices just by using my link, thrivemarket.com/party, and you don't even need a code. Oh, and when you go to thrivemarket.com/party, you'll see a compilation, like I'm Beethoven over here, of like 27 of my favorite things to buy on Thrive. I have my non-toxic but non-lousy mascara and highlighter on there, my go-to stapes like oats, pasta, salt, coconut oil, maple syrup, quinoa, dates, and my favorite superfoods for super less money than any other place I've ever found them. Oh, and my favorite chocolate and dish soap. Equally important stuff. To check out the Party in My Plants curated list of goods, plus to get that great 20% discount off your first order and a free 30-day trial, just go to thrivemarket.com/party, and let's get back to this awesome party we're in the middle of. So you have a book called The Soup Cleanse Cookbook, and I'm curious if you were nervous at all about using the word cleanse, because there's so much, you know, chaos and stigma attached to that word.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think at that time, this was 3 years ago, it was like people had figured out that juicing wasn't great for you. And there was a certain market of people who were looking for an alternative. And I did feel like that was an opportunity to say, like, you know what, cleansing, whether it's like juices or anything else, it's a misnomer. But like, there is a way to take a break from processed foods. There is a way to incorporate more whole plants into your diet that can be really great for you. And soup is a method to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, okay, if I can explain in my book, you know, what my philosophy is there, that you're not actually cleansing anything, that your lymph and your liver and your kidneys do a great job of that, but it is also great to give your digestive system a break and to fuel your body with really highly nutrient dense foods, that was a great opportunity. I mean, recently we've decided that, you know, all of the like education in the world and talking blue in the face is not going to change the consumer perception of that word. Mm. And it is still very polarizing. And I don't think that we want to be like the cleanse company. Mm-hmm. That's not my philosophy on food or taking care of yourself. So we've really been moving away from that language. And we do talk about, there are plenty of folks who want to do a reset. And of course, we're just coming out of like resolution time frame. And that's something that I think is normal in the way that we live, is every once in a while, we want to do a quick reset. Mm-hmm. But yeah, moving away from the word cleanse is definitely something that we've been doing.
Well, I wanted to talk about that resolution timeframe that we're kind of in right now, because one of your core values is about making small, simple changes versus these like resets and all that kind of like big overhauls. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, why do you think it's so important to make these small changes rather than these big radical changes and overhauls?
Well, because it doesn't last. Mm-hmm. You know, like the way that we are as human beings is we like consistency. We find safety in doing the same thing over and over again, even if it's not that great for us. There's just the fact that we're doing the same thing feels good. Mm-hmm. And anytime you shift, it elicits a fear response in us. Huh. And so, like,
I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about resolution time period, there is, you know, most people are have kind of like abandoned their resolutions by the 12th of January.
Is that true?
Yeah, and it's because, you know, in the initial phases, there's a lot of adrenaline. Everyone's kind of on board. There's like this community aspect of everyone's got a resolution. And then it kind of dies off and the fear kind of starts to kick in of, I'm not doing the same thing that I was anymore. Then there's doubt. I don't know if this is even really working. And then it's like just a lot easier to slide back to what you were doing before. And so if we just accept that change is kind of like not something that we like to do as human beings, then we can accept that maybe doing something smaller will have a bigger impact over time.
Absolutely.
Because something smaller is less threatening.
Totally. And that's why I think the idea of just like incorporating a soup or a smoothie in your life versus just only eating soups and smoothies for like 2 weeks straight because you got to do it and then you go back to your normal life is the way to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you get clients and customers that, I don't know if you can track this, but that like kind of go like treat a soup cleanse like they would a juice cleanse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think fewer and fewer people are doing that because there is an understanding that like small changes really are the way to go. And again, being more realistic about like just common sense, like just eating more vegetables. It's great for you. But I definitely can empathize with like, you know, eating a lot of Christmas cookies, you know, and sort of like getting to a place maybe once a month or once a quarter, because we are people who like a lot of variety and a lot of socialization around food, of saying like, you know, mm-hmm. I have kind of slid into the zone of like, I haven't bitten into an apple in a couple weeks.
Mm.
And is there something, you know, a little bit deeper that will help me get back into that place to remind me of just how good it feels to take care of myself?
Yes.
So I think there's like an argument for both, and uh-huh. It just depends on what is going on in your life.
I'm really with you on that. I actually did a few like one dayer or kind of like juice just till dinner type of situations mm-hmm. this summer. And that was the number one takeaway, that it reminded me, you know, of just how damn good eating all these plants when you stray from it a little bit. Like it was summer, you know, there's day drinking, there's like nachos, there's all the tacos. And just having like a few like hours of just plants shooting into my body just reminded me of the possibilities of how good I could feel. And it just got me craving only plants from there forward. And so I totally think that that's so legit. I think that's a really, really, really good point. And, you know, if someone's listening and they're like feeling skeptical about trading in their sandwich or their sweet green salad or whatever for a soup, what would be your argument? Like, why are soups so good and why are they worth replacing a meal? Like, what are some benefits someone might experience if they replace a meal with a soup?
Well, one of the great things about soups, because they're cooked, is that you can get a higher concentration of vegetables into a smaller volume.
Yeah.
You know, so you, like, you really can get 3+ servings of vegetables in a bowl of soup.
That's like more than half your day. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one. Two, because they're cooked, you do like the digestion process starts. So it really does make your body, it's like easier on your body to pull some of the nutrients out. And then the third is really that it's whole vegetables. So you're not juicing it. You've got fiber is so, so important for your body. Yeah. And, you know, carbohydrates that are bound by fiber, it's just like how our bodies are meant to eat food.
Hmm.
And it just keeps your system running.
Explain that a little bit more. I know you pull out that biology for me. What do you mean by carbohydrates bound by fiber, what we need?
Well, like carbohydrates are just like long chains of glucose, basically. And that's sugar,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why there's all this like fear around carbohydrates.
I know. As soon as you said that, I'm like, if anyone paleo's listening, are they like, no soups?
But the thing is that carbohydrates bound by fiber, so whole vegetables, it's a far, far less significant load on your glycemic index. And your body benefits from all of that fiber as well. So it's like you're getting to that fuel in a slightly more methodical manner. You're also getting all of that insoluble fiber to literally like push through your gut and create a really great environment for probiotic, healthy bacteria to live. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a really great symbiotic experience between your body and its food.
Yeah. And I assume this is the contrast is what you mean when you say you think juicing's not great because juicing's stripping all the plants of their fiber.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if you had to pick, how would you compare and contrast smoothies versus soups? Do you think both of them fit greatly in a daily diet, or do you think that just like smoothies are the summer equivalent to souping?
No, I mean, I think, well, like, of course I'm biased, right? Like I've picked smoothies and soups to be on the menu every day, right? Uh-huh. But smoothies are kind of like the warm weather equivalent in a lot of ways. Like you can make a really great high protein, low sugar smoothie that includes all of the fruits and vegetables, fiber, and keeps you going. And it can be really refreshing on a warm day. And, you know, similar to how a soup is really nourishing and warming on a cold day. But I eat both year round.
I just had a smoothie right now, before this call.
Yeah.
What are your tricks for making a smoothie high protein and actually stay with you? Because I find that for most people I speak to, this is the hardest area. You know, they'll have a smoothie and then they're like, well, freaking 20 minutes later, I'm ravenous. So then it just serves as like kind of a high calorie snack.
Yeah. I mean, we use pea protein. We use almond butter. Uh-huh. We try to keep the sweet factor on the lower side. I mean, we have sweeter smoothies and less sweet smoothies. Things like avocado and cauliflower.
Cauliflower is life. Just like half a year ago, I think I started putting cauliflower in my smoothies instead of banana. It has radically changed my life.
Yeah.
And my smoothies, it makes it so creamy and thick, but you don't need to add all the sugar from the banana and the flavor of the banana.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and cool. I think that's part of it is like, you know, similar to soup, like really beefing it up with a high fiber vegetable that has kind of a neutral taste is really nice.
What about traveling with these spoonable and sippable things? I'm sure because you're, you know, the soup and smoothie gal, you've been on the road, and how do you take your smoothies with you or your soups, or, you know, how does that work? Do you have any ways?
I mean, they're amazing on the road. Like if I'm traveling, I'll try to have them delivered to wherever I'm going because that's often a time where I'm like not
need them
eating.
The most. Yeah.
Yeah. And sort of like not cooking for myself. And so, yeah, I need them the most. So that's one thing that I do. I also like, I'll have a soup or a smoothie right before I travel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, okay, I don't need to have like all the snacks at the airport because I just had a really filling smoothie or soup.
I actually brought a soup, ironically, to my haircut appointment yesterday, and I ate it out of a ball jar while I was in the chair.
Yeah, exactly.
But traveling, you know, on a plane is challenging because of the liquid. Not TSA friendly.
Not TSA friendly.
Oh,
no.
So that's a bust. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But getting them delivered to where you go is a really smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you deliver all over the country?
Yes, every state.
Boom.
Except for Alaska and Hawaii.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you also talk about, you know, ways that you simplify and you cut out meal prep. And, you know, how do you, like when you're not eating, having a smoothie or a soup, like, what else are you eating? Like, how do you make that food work in your life? You know, as you described, you're so incredibly busy. So what are some ways that you balance that?
I mean, one is just kind of like my attitude. I think because I'm eating really well during the day, I don't sweat my dinners as much. Mm. So like if I want to come home and have hot dogs and like carrot sticks and tater tots with my kids, I will totally do that. Last night we made vegan tacos, actually.
Mm.
So it was like really simple, like can of beans plus some tomato sauce and some a sweet potato that I nuked, and just kind of like piled everything together into crunchy taco shells. I have like this really great hot sauce that we put on it. So I try to be kind of, I mean, I also, because I love cooking, I'm happy to be experimental with just like whatever's in my fridge. Like I don't like freak out and think like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm like, okay, I've got one carrot. So like I've got one carrot. I'll make like a carrot vinaigrette and use that with the leftover lettuce. And mm-hmm. then I'll roast a sweet potato and I'll throw some seeds and like some cheese in there. You know, I try to be like flexible. And then I also am like, you know, sometimes if we want to have dumplings and soy sauce, like that's cool too.
I really love how you said it's really about your attitude and how you don't sweat your dinner as much. I think that's really what all of this healthy eating boils down to, is a healthy attitude about the healthy eating. And I feel like every question I've asked you, you've just come back with that kind of answer. This like really calm, grounding, you know, big picture philosophy where you're not like white knuckling a meal or beating yourself up just if you had a hot dog last night. Have you always had this like balanced mentality, for lack of a better word? I mean, I think so many people would be so much better off adopting that kind of philosophy, not sweating their dinner as much. If they have a kick-ass planty lunch and breakfast, then chill out and lay low for dinner. Don't beat yourself up. How did you get here?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like, I did have an eating disorder. And like, that white knuckle approach didn't work. Mm. And then, you know, I did start to get nervous when I was pregnant about like doing everything right. And that didn't work. And what has worked is just doing the best that I can, like in a small way, starting there, paying attention to how I feel and like accepting that I'm a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've done it the other way and it didn't work. It didn't make me healthy. It didn't make me feel good. And I hope that anyone out there who's kind of like teetering on that can take that as like a word from future self that like you can totally, everyone has the ability to relax into a good relationship with food.
I think what you just said is so inspiring. I mean, you've been on the dark side multiple times and it didn't work. And look what works, being chill, not sweating your dinner as much. And I just think that's phenomenal. And I really, really hope that everybody listening can just take a deep breath and absorb that and try to bring more of that into their life, because no one should be stressing or sweating over their food.
Totally.
Yeah. And also eat more soup. I mean, honestly, I'm so stoked to like eat more soups after this conversation. And
yeah,
you know, I got the smoothies on lockdown, but you know, soups can, I've had a really up and down relationship with soups. I think there's some bad soups out there.
There's some bad soups.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, reason I was like, I'm just going to make kind of the thing that I know has always been around to like take care of people. And yet every time I try one at the grocery store, it's like really gross.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a better way to make a good
there
soup.
There you go. There's the, it's gotta be a better way.
Gotta be a better way.
What do you think about, I mean, are the soups and cans in the grocery store like really bad? Like, should people be avoiding those?
I think it's mostly like the ingredient list is a lot of times what I look at. Uh-huh. There is sugar in almost all of them. And there is like excessive sodium in almost all of them. And those are there for preservative reasons by and large. Mm. But there are probably some clean soups out there. I also find that that process, the canning process, makes things taste canned. Mm. Like it doesn't taste fresh.
Right. Definitely.
No matter what.
Definitely.
The texture's never there. The taste is always like, it's just not fresh tasting to me.
100%. And those canned chilies always give me gas versus homemade chili gives me much less gas.
Yeah, they're probably not. I mean, because you're actually using like a pressure cooker or cooking the beans for a period of time. And the reality of like large scale food manufacturing is they try to make things happen faster. Mm.
So where do you make your soups?
We have three different partners who cook for us, all in New York.
Oh, yeah. So three different places, though.
Yep. So, well, we have two who make our smoothies and one who makes our soups.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. so cool. And are you often still coming up with new flavors, or have you got, I mean, you say you have 40 soups. So I feel like how much more can you do here?
Yeah. I mean, we're coming up with different flavors every quarter.
Okay.
So we go through a whole review process of like, what do we think the great flavors are? What else are people looking for? And what are the flavors that aren't so great that maybe need to be retired?
Do most people, I'm just rapid fire shooting soup questions at you now that are coming to my mind. Do most people complain about gas with chili? Is that an issue? I've heard about, and I used to do this years and years and years ago when I first got into healthy eating, throwing like, I think it was kombu, the seaweed, in with beans to help somehow, you're the, you know, smart science lady, biology, like to help with the gas. Yeah.
I have heard of that. I mean, a lot of it is like fiber, like they're very, very fiber dense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like a high concentration of that, whether it's beans or loads of vegetables, if you're not used to it, it's going to give you gas. But over time, that usually does go away. Some people are really sensitive to fiber though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's true. But some people like are really sensitive to fiber and are going to want things like sweet potatoes or squashes that are really like broken down a little bit more in the cooking process.
Yeah. But lentils are swell. I feel like it's really just black beans that cause issues, right?
I mean, I've heard gas issues from just about everything. You know, like I think our bodies are both like very resilient and also highly sensitive. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm such a proponent of like small things, like lots of variety, try and like build up your body's resilience over time to lots of different whole foods.
Do you have any tips or tricks for people making good soups at home? Mm. I mean, I feel like everyone's like, oh, just make a soup. Like, you know, you be intuitive and do it. And I feel like that's not a very intuitive thing. Do you have any advice on that?
I think one of the biggest mistakes is not making a base and not being really patient with the base. So the base is usually something like mirepoix, which is like carrots, celery, and onions, or it's like garlic and shallots and leeks, or it's like, you know, garlic and tomatoes, you know, something like aromatic. And it's very common to kind of like rush that part or skip it and just think you can kind of throw everything in and over time it'll all taste good.
Uh-huh.
But there's so much flavor development that happens there. Mm. And I think that it creates the real sort of like foundation for a great soup.
So you're saying, you're talking about when you start a soup, sauteing those things, like sweating them, mm-hmm. you know, getting all their juices out and then adding your broth or your water or coconut
or
milk.
Spices first, you know, like getting spices like to kind of like shimmy with the heat mm-hmm. a little bit before you actually put the liquid in or the bigger vegetables in.
What are the common liquids that you use? I mean, I've in a pinch and out of laziness made soups with water when I didn't have veggie broth. Is that
of course.
Oh, that's okay.
That's totally fine.
I didn't know if that was a disaster.
Why the base can be so powerful. It's like you can use that to create a lot of flavor and then just add water. And the vegetables, as they're releasing their water, will flavor the base as well. But yeah, I mean, mushroom stock is amazing.
Ooh.
Lemongrass and ginger, you know, like if you're just adding water, lemongrass and ginger are really amazing to create flavor. And also just like fresh herbs.
Uh-huh.
The woody herbs like rosemary and thyme you might add earlier, but then the fresh ones like basil and dill or even mint and tarragon, throwing those in at the last minute can really freshen and brighten just about any flavor.
So it's really about the small details in a soup, it sounds like, more than anything else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the details really matter.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, cool. Well, I want to ask you my final planty questions. And the first of those questions is, what is your favorite soup?
The khichdi.
Okay.
That Ayurvedic stew.
So what is that for somebody that doesn't know?
So it's an ancient Indian stew mm-hmm. that people have been eating to take care of their gut. And there is thought that it pulls some toxins out of your intestine and your gut as it's moving through your body. I have not substantiated this by looking at peer-reviewed articles, but I do think there's something to be said about a food that's plant-based and really yummy and filled with amazing things that people have been passing down different recipes for many, many generations.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, it's just so satisfying. The mix of brown rice and the mung beans, and I love it.
It's like one of the OG soups mm-hmm. in the world.
It's an OG soup.
It's Indian flavored, right?
It is, but it's like there's the version that we have has lemongrass and ginger in it, so there's like a real freshness to it as well. It's really yummy.
Cool. When you say lemongrass, you're talking like the actual, not like not like a powder, like a real.
No, it's like a grass.
Yeah.
and there's kind of like a bulb at the end, and you smash it up, and it flavors. It's a very citrusy, green citrusy flavor.
It's the best flavor in the world. We went to Thailand and it was everywhere and I never wanted it to stop.
Yeah, so good.
But I've never used it myself. Been intimidated.
Oh, well you should try.
Get on that. I know. Yeah. Okay, what is your favorite smoothie?
The AB&J. Strawberries, almond butter, some banana. There's some pea protein in there. And it's just like really it's not super sweet. It tastes like an AB&J, like with the crust cut off kind of thing. Like, it's like, it just has that really satisfying flavor. That's both a little bit just like savory and a tiny bit sweet. I love it.
Sounds amazing.
Super satisfying.
And it sounds filling with the protein.
Yeah.
And almond butter. Yum. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your favorite plant party or like planty restaurant? Stepping outside your soup and
smoothies. Planty restaurant. You know, I've had some really, really great plant-based food at La Turtle in the city.
Never heard of it.
It's kind of fancy. So I've only been a couple times, but they have like just these really beautiful plant-based dishes. Mm. And they look kind of like a kaleidoscope.
Oh.
Yeah.
La Turtle. Really.
And then I also have a by Chloe near me. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's like a great place for kind of more of my indulgent side.
Are you here in Williamsburg?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me too. We're probably very close to each other.
We could have done this like with tin cans and a string.
Pretty much, because I'm close to the same by Chloe.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. By Chloe's great. Okay, what is your favorite plant to eat?
I love squash.
Mm-hmm.
I love like delicata squash is, I just think, such a perfect food.
Squash is great. And it's very appropriate for right now. And it's great for soups.
Great for soups.
Do you make
great
any
for the
like
eyes. Great for the eyes? Great for the eyes.
Yes. Do you make any savory smoothies?
You know what? I'm just actually trying something that's like a pumpkin smoothie.
That's what I was thinking. Let's see. Squashy smoothie.
Yeah. It was really good.
Mm. I make a pumpkin smoothie every time it's pumpkin season. Just a canned pumpkin. So
yeah,
good.
It's like spiced.
Yeah, it's such a good texture. Really fills you up, like bite to it.
Yeah.
Yum. Do you ever suggest people turn your smoothies into like smoothie bowls?
Yeah, people do that. Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's how you add bite. I always need a crunch.
Yeah, some seeds.
Yeah.
Seeds
granola,
are great.
Homemade granola.
Yeah.
Chia seeds. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like I'm going to know the answer to this, but what is your most used kitchen tool?
It's the spoon for sure.
I love it. And your blender.
Yeah. I have a hand blender, which is really amazing for soups because then you don't have to pour anything into a blender.
You know what? Yes. That pouring process is so annoying because you can never pour enough in to then be able to pour it back into your pot. So then you're like stranded. You need like a new pot or a bowl. Like what kind of vessel do you then transfer the pureed soup to? It's such a mess.
Yeah. You get a stick blender. That's how you fix that one.
I've always been very stressed to use it. I had a bad experience in culinary school. I went to the Natural Gourmet Institute and I had a bad experience where I didn't, you know, immerse it quite enough.
And it went everywhere.
Mm, yeah. I have photo documentation of that. So I guess your tip for that would be just make sure you get it in there.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. And do you have any specific like hand blender that people should look into, or do you think they're all kind of created equal?
I have only ever had the Cuisinart hand blender. I've had two or three of them, and they've served me well.
That's really good to know. Because, I mean, yeah. I think everyone's like, oh, got to get a Vitamix, got to get these really expensive blenders. But a hand blender, to my knowledge, is much less expensive.
Much less.
Yeah.
Much less expensive. Okay. Very easy to clean as well.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Cool. So what's some book besides your own that has inspired you in some awesome way?
You know, let's see. I read this book last year called Journey of the Universe. That's really cool. It's basically about like how the Earth formed from the Big Bang Theory until now.
Wow.
And it was sort of like poetic and scientific at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds it. Journey.
It was, it's short. It's short. It's like 150 pages or something like that.
Cool. That sounds awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Where can people stay connected to you and get their soups on?
Yeah. Get your soup on. Splendidspoon.com. And then on Instagram, we are splendidspoonny.
Oh.
Even though we ship everywhere.
Why was Splendid Spoon taken?
It's just a handle that we've had for a while.
Oh.
Started in New York.
So is the non-NY someone has that?
Someone has it.
Who has it?
A woman. And I asked her if she would turn it over to me. And she didn't respond. I offered some soup. I guess that wasn't enough.
Oh, my God. Get back. I feel like you could rally the troops and get her to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny/awkward. Yeah. Okay, so Splendid Spoon NY.
Yep.
And Splendid Spoon.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I'm Nick Cent, NICCENT, if you're interested in, you know, the work-life juggle and kids and the food that I make on my own time.
And watching you not sweat over your dinners as much.
Not sweating over
your dinners. And your positive attitude. That's very inspiring. I hope everybody takes some notes from.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I really hope that soup is about to experience a bit more of a renaissance. I know you've already been in that process for years before coming on the show, but I hope my listeners really like embrace the comforting, nourishing thing that is soup.
Cool.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. So, souping? Think you're game to make it a part of your lifestyle? Super coincidentally, I recorded this chat with Nicole the day after I created a soup recipe for my book, because since I don't love soup, I realized at the very last minute that the soup category in my book was skimping a bit. And by skimping, I mean it only had a chili and a gazpacho, which kind of don't really even count as soup, do they? I mean, anyway, I created a curry cauliflower sweet potato soup that even I slurped up with glee. So I can't wait to share it with you when my book comes out too. But until then, you have Nicole's soups and smoothies to plant party with. So definitely check out Splendid Spoon or the show notes for this episode at partyinmyplants.com/127 to learn more. And special thanks to Four Sigmatic and Thrive Market, two companies I swear I'd rave about even if they didn't want to help me be able to pay my podcast editor. Find more info about them, the spark notes of this chat with Nicole, and so much more that makes healthy eating really not suck over at partyinmyplants.com/127.